Oh, agents, darling, you think you can dissect me with this blunt little tool?
No. I thought that your knowledge...
You're so ambitious, aren't you? Do you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube with a little taste. Good nutrition's given you some length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor wire trash, are you, Agent Starling? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia. What is your father dear? Is he a coal miner? Does he stink of the land? You know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
That was Douglas.
I heard noises and I figured those noises were.
And the screwdriver is now taken away from Damian.
Now I can go back to sleep.
Oh look, a phone that is indestructible.
Now guys, before I throw the projectile. Now guys, before we go any further into the show, because we have a lot we want to talk about, I want to stop and say for a second, if either of you have noticed, this recording, if it actually releases past this point, will be episode 200.
Woo!
Right?
How would I have noticed?
And that's kind of crazy to me, because we've been doing this for, what, 4 or 5 years
now? We've been doing this for a while, but I need to set us a challenge, a new challenge. Because we've reached 200.
Challenge accepted.
200 is great and all, but I want us to go further, right? I want us... And this is a
took him out well.
This is a shot across the bow to Mamo. I want us to beat Mamo. Mamo is at like 360 something at this point.
So now we're coming in every other day. Now.
Exactly. We have to do like, and it can be mini episodes, right? It could be, hi, this is Andrew, Damian, and Douglas, and this is episode 56, and we're done.
Douglas, slow and steady. They're older than us.
They'll be dead soon.
Right? And then we started at a younger age.
I wonder if they'll actually listen to this.
So the question I have to ask is this.
We will outlive them. It's so simple.
When that eventually happens, right, when we outlive Price and Brown, right?
Yes.
And we surpass their numbers, will we then attack the Cinecast?
No, I don't think you understand. We're going to outlive
all of them.
When everyone has gone, podcasting is dumb. It's always been a bad idea. We're out of podcasts. Or people have lives to contend with, you know, jobs and whatnot. We will stay the course.
We will be the one keeping...
Right. Podcasting alive. Now into infinity. When Guinness finally comes to us and go, alright guys, you've been doing this now for a long time. We have to give you some award for wasting that much of your lives on other people's lives. Then, and only then, will we finally achieve greatness, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're already the only podcast that is right. We might as well. The only podcast, period.
But on a more serious note, like, I've written about this before, and I kind of have said it to Douglas in time gone by. I don't know if I said it to Damian. But when I started this, it was just a weird idea where I was like, this is something I like, and we like to talk about this anyways, and let's just do this on a weekly basis. And there was a period of time, like the first 3-4 months, where I kept lying to myself that... Not about the show being good or being well-received or anything. Lying to myself that... that you guys really were down and into this. And it took a long time for me to actually stop and realize that you guys were okay with this plan. And I don't know, we have never talked about if we're ever going to stop doing this. And I don't, what will it be? When you turn 30? When we turn 30, we'll have to give it up, right?
No, we'll be dead. So.
And we have no plans of stopping, as it were, right now, today. But, like, it's number 200. I want to just, at the very least, to you guys say thank you so much for doing this with me.
Thanks for coming up with this real dumb idea. And roping us into your shenanigans.
And for anyone out there who's still listening, thank you so much for listening. For everyone who's tweeted at me about this show, thank you for doing that. For anyone who's commented on the site, thank you. For anyone, and there has been a few people, for anyone who's actually come up to me and said something to me about the website and this show, thank you for doing that. Because, guys, the internet is a quiet place when you don't have a site that traffics a billion people a day. But the little people that actually
thank
do...
Thank God for that.
The little people that do, thanks so much for doing it.
So there's not constant flame wars happening on your website. Huh?
Damon said something.
Right. You'd have to come. It's episode 200 and we're turning off comments. Cause fuck you.
if you guys thought, based on what we've been doing for the last 199 episodes, plus, because I'm not counting all of the bonus stuff I've put out over the years, or the amount of ones that we just haven't released.
I didn't believe that number. I've not done this 200 times. What? I've like a life and friends.
if you think listening to what we're doing at this current moment in this episode that we have something special planned in this episode, you are very wrong. We're going to do the same thing we've done 199 times.
All we should do is go back to reporting on news. We're our news outlet. Oh. Comment on news and trailers. Oh, it's such a good. Oh, we did such good work.
Was, yeah.
God damn it. we made terrible choices.
We have changed the format a few times on this show.
Yeah, we're like, hey guys, we're going to talk about movies. Mm-hmm. Some weird movie.
Remember when we used and to just list it. What we'd watched?
Yeah.
Just.
And I'm sure Douglas was semi-happy when I cut that out of the show. Because then he didn't have to feel guilty about that he hadn't watched anything.
Absolutely.
That week.
Or only watched and garbage
it's,
that he shouldn't
funny
talk
because
about.
You could kind of chart my growth in, you know, the job market. Because at first I was the one where I'd be like, yeah, I watched crazy ass shit, and then
steady decline into nothingness. Like, I watched a half an hour TV show on Netflix.
Yep.
Then I went to work and then I came home and watched the same exact episode and fell asleep. Like, I did a lot of crazy shit because we're doing this. I'm like, I need to fill all these holes in movies and just watch a shitload of movies for absolutely no, like, no one cares.
Well, I mean, I'm still doing that now. I'm just doing it a lot slower than you tried.
Yeah, I don't know who I was trying to justify myself. You
the internet. The internet is who you were justifying yourself to.
He was justifying himself to me.
Yes.
He still actively seeks my approval.
Right.
And it's kind of sad, actually, Damon. You need to stop.
Right. You've seen Cannonball Run, right? Oh, no, you haven't. You've seen Miller's Crossing by now. Right?
Listen, I watch cinema. Okay. Don't trouble me with trifles such
right.
as Cannonball Run.
If it is not in a foreign language,
look Damien,
with subtitles,
Damien, you don't understand.
I am not going to watch.
You've been to a film festival.
Oh, I have. Right.
I was actually just talking to Price about this the other day. And I'm like, yes, and I still plan to come up to Toronto and hopefully I can go Damon coming next time.
There be no go to, of course I'll come. Watch movies.
By the way, can I say, speaking of Price, I think it's precious that the most excited I've ever heard him be on his podcast is because of his beard. There was a beard story.
Douglas, you need to calm down because we can't ruin this for Damien, right? He'll he'll jump out of this whole thing. Like right now, you can't see him. He's questioning it right now.
Beard.
Anyways, I just wanted to say, guys, thank you so much. And I don't know if I'd want to go so far as to say, here's to another 200, but here's to what comes next.
Andrew Robinson, you're our fearless leader, and we will follow you anywhere.
Fearless or that other word?
It's 200. Leave him alone for what it's. He's earned it.
I put up with 200.
I don't know how you did it. That is the more impressive part.
When we reach 300, how many Sparta jokes will we make?
Non-stop.
Well, Andrew, it at least will have been madness at that point. So there is that.
I mean, it's madness though.
Anyways, moving on into what we normally do anyways. This week, we saw a film. It's a Spanish film. And it was called Cannibal, A Love Story.
¿Te gusta estar solo?
Estoy acostumbrado. La gente cambia.
La gente es lo que es.
¿Tú qué sabes?
Douglas, you picked
this
film.
Subtitle?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that. I didn't know it until Andrew pointed it out to me. But yeah, so I picked this film mainly because
it rhymes with Hannibal.
Exactly. Actually, no. There's a lot to that, but it's a longer story, right? So I was on the internet the other day, and
how many times have I told you not to do that?
And I saw an article about movies that had recently come out on VOD, and this was one of them. And I said, oh, I really wanted to watch this movie. And again, let's pull out the TIFF card. I went to TIFF last year, and there were movies I did watch which were great, but there were also movies that I wasn't able that I wasn't able to watch, which made me really sad. And this was one of them. This was playing at TIFF last year. And I really wanted to watch this movie. This was one of those where even up to the point where I was in Canada, I was still trying to see if I could figure a way to change our own movie ticket so I could get to watch this movie, and I didn't. So I decided, yes, let's watch this movie. And as you said, Damien, I think more than likely the original reason I said I wanted to watch this movie at TIFF was, hey, it does rhyme with Hannibal. It's about a cannibal, and that TV show is awesome. And why not have more, right? But whatever. So this is, as Andrew says, a Spanish movie about a cannibal, and it is also about kind of a love story. It's very calm, this movie. It takes its time to build to what it wants to show you, and I think it's a little bit, I don't know how easy it's going to be to talk about this movie without giving too much away, but so you know from day one, you know from word one, from title one, that there's gonna be somebody who eats people in this movie, and he is the main character, and he's very much of a loner. He's a tailor.
He eats all these people.
Exactly. He cuts cloth by day and he eats long pig by night, right? And this movie, I guess, really is about him. I don't want to say accidentally, but somehow miraculously, despite not wanting to, this movie is about him kind of making that connection with somebody else. And there, as with some of the movies that I like, there isn't much of a kind of drive to this movie again, right? What I noticed, especially for, say, the first half hour, there is very little dialogue. And the camera kind of sits still, which kind of even enhances that feel of serenity, that feel of not much happening, And I don't know, there's a something about that style that if it's done well, I like. And I really appreciate that about this movie. I don't think that I can really call this a great movie. But I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. I'd totally watch it again. I would recommend it. But yeah, this is the thing about this movie is it's very one-minded. There's not a lot of things going on. It is a cannibal who wants to be left alone and then somehow find somebody who he wants to be alone with. And that's really all this is. So it is cannibal, a love story, not much else. And I appreciate it. I really did. I kind of like this movie. Damon, this is gonna be fun.
Okay. Interesting. So this movie, this is one of those movies I like to put into that category of I applaud it, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair enough. It does what it meant to do. It did it intently. It did it very wonderfully and beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But I never quite got into it, or at the very least. There was a point in my mind where I found myself halfway through the movie going, I understand it. I don't want to watch anymore. it was very slow. Nothing really caught me that much because, I mean, that concept in itself, a cannibal, the guy who obviously should be a loner. Of course, Hannibal in the TV show very much isn't on purpose. Like,
yeah.
He's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
This guy is just like, I live in a small town. No one's really going to care. I live alone and I'm the greatest tailor of all time. Which reminds me, I need to have a tailored suit before I die.
You probably should.
Before I die.
Like right now.
Right now would be a good time to have it.
You're like a grown-ass man. probably get one.
And he eats people, and they make like the first scene in the movie. I think is you see him pulling up somebody onto his table, and then the next scene is like him cooking. And the rest of the movie, you just kind of get hints at it, where like he'll open the fridge and you'll see all meat. He doesn't have vegetables when he sits down at his table, and the rest of it is just him and the woman he's interacting with, who kind of forces her way into his life slowly but surely. And
Forces the right word?
She is, well, the first woman is kind of trying to push past his own kind of solitude, kind of barriers, social barriers. The second one is very much like him being very nice, right? And I questioned that very intently throughout that happening.
Absolutely. It didn't quite make sense, but, you know.
Like
it made sense towards the end.
Yeah. And I picked a reason which I still feel is right, and it only comes from inference based on what you know by the end of the movie. But it's never quite explained, and at the same time, it doesn't quite matter. Right? Because it's about him falling in love. It's not about why he falls in love.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole process of the actual courting throughout this movie, it's just not very interesting, to tell you the truth. There's nothing that really grabs me or anything where if that would give me much impetus to recommend this movie to people, even to people who like movies like this, which are beautiful and gorgeous and calm and quiet and still and just nothing. Like, you give all that list of what this movie does, and there are movies which do that, and there's always interesting at the end of it, right? This movie doesn't have interesting. It just felt, it felt like someone had an interesting idea about the actual cannibal, and he stopped there. But sure, it's just one of those movies, and I feel that this is one of those movies which will always land on like a Netflix, right? And it'll be there and people will point to it to be like, that's a movie which you can watch, but no one's ever going to fall in love with it.
I disagree with everything Andrew said. Actually, I quite like this movie.
Yes!
And that's the reason why I allowed Andrew to pass. Because I knew, whenever Andrew likes something, it's clear, it's on his face.
I felt it, the easiest thing in the world.
I'm a good poker player.
I'm sure you are. You just smile all the time, and everyone's like, I don't know, there's nothing up there.
I don't know if he has two or three off suits or if he has double aces.
It's like a blank slate up there. White page. What I enjoy most about the movie is the cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy him as a character. I enjoy how he goes about essentially letting everyone know why he lives like this. He's very stoic. Mm-hmm. He's very harsh. And everyone respects that. Everyone understands that, you know, this is his choice and this is how he lives. And you can see that he's very meticulous about all the aspects of his life. And as the movie progresses, you see how all of it bears out, how it helps him both in his job and how it helps him in murdering people. It's like the whole thing with Dexter, the TV show. It's that sort of thing. And even the Hannibal, that TV show, you see where, you know, people who decide to live like this, not the cannibal part, the loner part, people who decide to live like this, you see where they kind of have to. You can't just run around telling people I murder people, go to prison. So you have to keep that side of yourself hidden. And the easiest way is to essentially not let anyone see it. And you see where he's done it long enough that it is now part of him. He doesn't really know how to not be that person. And as the movie progresses, you see where he receives some pushback, and he in some instances, like, flips out. He's like, I can't do this. I don't, just stop. And the thing that I like most about the movie is I get wanting to be isolated. I actually enjoy being alone. I enjoy things being quiet. And so I can see there's some allure to me to living like that. The problem is, when you live alone and you decide, I'm going to start eating people, there is no one else in the house that can go, no dog, you're absolutely not going to do that. And that's like living alone, because everyone spends time in their own heads. But when there's no other voice going, you cannot do that, and you're alone all the time, then the can't, because it is not socially acceptable, becomes you can as long as no one else finds out. And that is the situation that this guy finds himself in. And Andrew says there's no payoff at the end of the movie.
I think the end of the movie is incredible. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And as Andrew's, like, the movie is, Andrew's not wrong about the movie being slow. People are going to watch this and be bored to death. And they're not wrong. It's 2 hours, and there is no, the story is being told, but there is no drive, nothing is being rushed at all. Like, when the movie started and the first sister came to him, it felt, I was worried that the movie was going to kind of rush through this situation, but they didn't. They used the entire runtime of this movie. The 2 hours is used up in its entirety, and I enjoyed spending time with both characters. I enjoyed seeing them play off each other. And it was about halfway through the movie where I kind of switched, where something happens on a beach. And up until that point, I was going, this guy is not acting like he's just stone-faced. he's not even trying to emote. It's just like there has to be something. Like you can't just have this frozen face the entire movie and expect people to go, oh yeah, he's a serious man and whatever. And then the beat scene happens and you go, no. No, that is starting to make sense. All of it kind of coalesced. And by the time the movie was done, enjoyed it. I enjoyed this movie a lot. But I will say, you have to, if you've recorded 200 podcasts, it will help ease you into watching these type of movies. It's long. It is not in English. You have to pay attention. And there's nothing that is flashy about this movie at all. None of the kills happen on screen. It's all off screen. So you don't, like, if that's what you're going in for, you don't get that as a, like, there's no, none of the traditional, like, Hollywood payoffs are in this movie. It is a foreign film. It is an indie, like, it ticks all the indie boxes. With probably the exception being, like, there's no, as I call it, Douglas soundtrack anywhere to be seen. But I still like it. I like it a lot. I like this movie. I'm definitely going to watch it again. And as much as it pains me to do this, I'd like to thank Douglas.
Are we allowed to do that?
Don't want to do it. Because he'll think that he made a good decision here. He'll think that his logic made sense. He doesn't think it's absolute luck that got us here. He thinks there's some strategy, and that is what I'm afraid of.
There's absolutely strategy.
No, there's not.
Listen, the strategy is...
No.
I understand that these things are selected at random, but let me tell you why there is a strategy. There is a strategy because... The nose. Yeah. Nose.
I hate you so much.
So
I would like to retract that immediately and let it be known henceforth from now on to forever. I'll never hug Douglas for anything again.
So talking about 200, right? Questions for not the 200th time, because this segment isn't that old.
segment is actually quite new.
And it's quite new, and
I don't know if you
very much unlike the number 200.
Mm-hmm.
Only two people responded to the question.
One for each hundred.
So there's a corollary. That's the word, right? Corollary. Correlation.
Correlation. A corollary is something that is implied based on. Well, not quite, but yeah.
Last week, I was asking people about films and, more importantly, films in how they represent mental illness and what you consider to be some of the best films to have done this. And the internet responded. And by the internet, once again, I mean one for every 100 episodes we've done.
That sounds about right.
And Alexander Tierney responded, saying not a movie he's seen, but a movie people have recommended to him. That being Frank, the movie we saw recently.
I like that movie a lot.
Have you seen Frank yet, Damon? No.
So good.
I wasn't quite attuned with it completely all the while, but I will give it. That final song is goddamn awesome.
I love you all. That song is so good. Actually, all of that music is good to me, but...
Some of it is more of a joke. Some of it I don't take as like a proper
music
as to like being like a joke.
But you know what it is though? It felt to me to be a joke played by somebody who really wants to make good music. Like, that's how it sounded to me. So I still liked it.
Another response, the other 100th response coming from at All Flicker, who gave me a list stating... One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, a film that I've still yet to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Shock Corridor, David Cronenberg's Spider, which is a movie I've been meaning to watch for a while. and Short Term 12.
Oh, yeah.
A movie that I actually got my parents to watch this week past for the first time. And I'm so happy that they loved it.
Short Term 12.
Juglas, just admit it to us. You are afraid of feeling.
No. You see, the thing is, it's not that I don't like Short Term 12, you know. I'm just disappointed.
Because you're a terrible person.
In the internet and in everybody for loving that movie so much. That movie is just okay. That movie is not like what I have seen said about it.
All right. I will accept that.
You were overhyped and...
Maybe that's all it was.
You can't cope with the difference with what you saw.
Yeah.
It happens to the best of us. But guess what, Douglas? You're wrong. And that movie's amazing.
I told you to stay off the internet.
But we put this on the internet.
What?
Can we stay on the internet?
I thought this was going out live on Zip 103 of it.
No. We had
live
to switch.
Live energy station.
We had to switch sponsors. We are now on fire.
not hot 105?
Not hot 105, no.
So the
is it hot
102? Right?
It's hot 102.
I actually don't think anyone in Jamaica listens to us. So all our local radio stations, this is not the same joke
to
anyone who's actually listening.
Like all the jokes that we make on this.
But moving ahead,
they
relate to no
one. I have been told that my jokes are appreciated. Okay?
Congratulations.
Okay? I'm just
who
saying.
Who appreciated your jokes?
Himself.
Ryan McNeil appreciated my punch to last week joke. Okay?
Listen.
All right.
First of all, he's not a real person. I've never met him. So you can't prove any of this.
Anyways, moving ahead. Recently, I sat down and I finally watched the film Shut Up and Play the Hits, which is this great musical documentary / concert film which documents the final concerts of LCD Sound System because the guy decided he didn't want to do it anymore or whatnot, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him. You guys can stop now.
And welcome again to Damien Hates Music.
This is chapter 12. This is electronic. And guys...
Jerks.
I really like that movie, Shut Up and Play the Hits. And it kind of got me thinking about concert films. Because, like, musical documentaries are actually a genre of documentary films that... I find kind of monotonous, right? Most of them I will like or dislike based on how much I like the music in it, as opposed to the actual documentary stuff.
What's the problem with that? I don't see a problem with that. If I don't like the music, why do I need to know about the music?
I think I have just had an epiphany.
Best thing you've ever said.
Is it an epiphany if someone else said it?
It's just a third party. If you don't
know. And I'm kind of curious about concert documentaries, and I guess I can kind of widen it to musical documentaries on a whole, as to what you regard as some of the best out there. And are there any out there that you regard the best, but you didn't quite go in loving the music to watch that movie? I just find it curious.
I have two answers to that.
What?
So... Prince, of course, made a concert movie for Sign of the Times. Have either of you watched that?
I've never seen
it. It doesn't matter because the music is awesome.
No doubt.
Prince. I'm surprised you didn't mention the David Byrne one for Talking Heads.
Ooh, I have seen that, but a long time ago.
Does Searching for Sugar Man count?
It does.
Okay. Then that one.
It's not a concert.
It is a musical documentary.
Sure. And then there's Big Time. By Big Time
by
Tom Waits. I love that. I used to have that DVD. I don't know what the hell I did with it. I need to try and find
it's
a copy somewhere.
Actually,
so good.
I used to always find the clip on YouTube from Big Time when he was doing Down in the Hole.
I don't remember that song.
Was it that one or was it a different one that he did? Where like it
Down
was
Down in the Hole is. Oh, you mean when he was talking about Frank?
No. Alright, sorry.
So the actual song, Down in
the
Hole. The
actual song,
okay.
Down in the Hole.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not Big Time. Maybe it's a different one.
Because
there was one where,
yeah,
like, it was, like,
the hole
it was, like, sketches, pretty much. Where, like, he would have done a pre-recorded thing over here, then it moved to another thing over here.
Well,
and there was a section where he did Down in the Hole. I don't know if that was Big Time or
well,
a different one.
The thing is, right, maybe it was because that's exactly what Big Time was.
Mm-hmm.
But Big Time was for the album, I'm assuming. Big Time, because
mm-hmm.
that is actually a Tom Waits album.
I don't
and,
know. I know it's an album.
Yeah,
I just don't know the track list off
the
top of my
head. Down, I don't think Down in the Hole is on that. I think Down in the Hole is on something like Frank's Young Years or something like that it's called.
Well, there's a performance clip of him doing Down in the Hole, and he's dressed up and he has his lit up microphone and all sorts of stuff. And we have a friend, and I used to love to send her this video because
yeah.
she refused
Frank's Wild Years. I don't
know. Because,
yeah.
like, while we're at UWE, I would send it to her because sincerely going, like, this is awesome. And she would listen to that. She saw, like, the first 3 seconds, saw a white person with a little microphone and crazy shit, and turned it off. And ever since then, I was like, just send it to her, like, in messages. And then she opens it and gets angry at me. Like, she thinks I'm done. She thinks I'm not doing it anymore. but, yeah.
I am still your man. Feeling is believing. Wars coming to my dreams. They needle me away.
Damien,
yes.
This might be
mm-hmm.
the last week of the quiz, or this iteration
yes,
of the
this
quiz.
This is the final week,
and we are current. Douglas and I are currently tied.
We're tied
at 24.
So we have to spot. We have to make a difference within these 5 questions each.
There's one. There's a tiebreaker. How many you two idiots
get nothing?
Get no points.
So tell us, Damien, what era are we in for our final?
The decade that we started this podcast.
2004 for life!
My killers this week.
This has been a long, long league season. I'd like to thank you for your competition.
Yes, let's
right.
shake hands and be gentlemanly about this. Be very sportsmanlike.
You're all terrible at this game. I hate all of you.
Let's flip the coin.
I'll start with Douglas since he is... fast on his way to falling asleep.
Oh, yes.
The 3 movies are 8 Mile, The Ring, and The Bourne Identity.
Oh, The Bourne Identity. And he said, the thing is, I remember I actually went to the movie theater to watch 8 Mile. I also watched Bourne Identity as well. Let's think about when this would have
There'll
been.
There'll be no tips for the years. All questions are worth full 2 points.
I am going to go with Bourne Identity, 8 Mile, and what?
The Ring.
8 Mile. Was I there? The Ring. I'm probably a year late,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to go with 2004 for
incorrect.
Life. Yeah.
You're also incorrect.
Oh, no?
It's 2002 for
it's
life.
2? Oh, wow.
Wow.
I could have sworn if it wasn't 4, it was 3.
The wow. Bourne Identity was the first film.
Yeah, it was.
I went to watch alone.
Oh, really?
Because
wow.
no one wants
what,
to go.
What a memory.
Wow.
First time my family decided I was a dirtbag. You will always walk alone. Like Liverpool. No, put them in order, sir.
Alright, remind me again, 8 Mile, Bourne and what?
Bourne and The Ring.
The Ring, okay.
3 timeless
Everybody
classics.
Did love The Ring at the time,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Everyone also loved Eminem.
Yeah, they did.
And
it won an Oscar.
Norbit won an Oscar.
But it did win an Oscar.
Norbit
we can't
won an
take
Oscar.
It away from it.
Crash won an Oscar.
Can't take it away from Crash.
We should, though. We really should. If there's one thing that kind of we should change, we should start taking away Oscars.
I feel like I'm wrong here, but I'm just going to go with this. I want The Ring followed by 8 Mile followed by Bourne Identity.
You, sir, are not right.
Yeah.
I will go The Ring,
mm-hmm.
followed by Bourne Identity,
mm-hmm.
followed by whatever's left because I've already forgotten what it is.
Andrew Robinson's right. The Ring made 129, Bourne made 121, and 8 Mile made $116 million.
I own 2 of those 3 films.
Oh, he's scary. I don't even want to know what to. It is too depressing for us. Andrew Robinson, Mean Girls,
mm-hmm.
Team America World Police,
fuck
and
yeah.
Van Helsing I'm sorry?
2003.
They can't hear fingers.
2003.
You are incorrect.
I think that's 2004.
You are right.
I just watched Mean Girls just the other day for the first time. Crap.
That one I remember.
So what was this Mean Girls? Van Wilder and...
Where did you hear Van Wilder?
Van Helsing. Van Helsing,
you America, World Police, and Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
Yes.
Look, they're all Dutch.
Wait, Van Helsing came out in 2004? I don't think that's right.
You take that up with Box Office Mojo.
Didn't Van Helsing come out in like 2001?
All right,
I don't remember.
No, Andrew Robinson, you could answer the questions, please. Yeah, Box Office Mojo got it wrong because you think it did.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go ahead and guess Team America, Mean Girls, Helsing.
Nope. Douglas, you're shaking your head like you have a clue.
No, I don't have a clue. But
can you put them in?
That didn't sound right. So I'm gonna go with Timo. No, I'm just joking.
at least one more time before we're over.
I know, right?
Right?
We need to do it.
Can you pass that screwdriver?
Remind me the movies: Van Helsing, Team America, and what?
And Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. I'm gonna put Mean Girls on top. Followed
as
by, probably. Let's go with Van Helsing and then Team America.
Van Helsing made 120.
No, really?
Mean Girls made 86.
Okay.
And Team America made $32 million.
I actually imagined all of them making like 30 ish. Which is why I had them.
No,
well,
and people love Mean Girls.
I know,
so I just assume
but it
that
seems
that would
culty.
Make a lot of money.
It seems culty to me.
Yeah.
Douglas Robbins. Twilight Saga, The New Moon.
Oh, fuck you. Which one is that?
Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Bomba class.
And Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Fuck me. He always does this shit. I have no clue what the numbers are. Okay. I can figure out Harry Potter, though.
Okay.
Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince, you say?
That is what I said.
That's the one where he gets the book. He gets the book that Severus had written, which is, I think you're right.
I have no idea what
I think it's
talking
the fifth
about.
One.
It's the fifth or the sixth one. I can't remember.
How many are there? There's seven movies.
Seven and a half.
And
there are eight movies.
There are eight movies?
Where seven is split in two.
Right, so seven is split in two.
Right.
And then...
So you can call yourself one.
No, I think it's six. Because I think five is... Yeah, I think it's the sixth movie.
Well done, sir. Well done. That one works. That one worked too well.
And Transformer Revenge of the Fallen...
Yes.
Is that two? Is that the second one? Or is that the third one?
This is me not giving a shit.
This is sad. So I'm just here trying to figure out what number these are.
No, don't ask me which number Twilight New Moon is.
Twilight
I really don't know which one that one is.
Exactly.
Would you like some help?
I know Breaking Dawn is
if
the
you're
last
giving
one.
Me help.
Absolutely not.
Alright, fine. So, okay. If I assume this is Transformer 2.
The re-Transformers.
Remember, it was Transformers, then Transformers something,
then Transformers Pink Floyd,
then Transformers No More,
and then Dinosaur
Child
Fire.
Right.
No More Child.
So now, this is after I came home, right? Which means it's late 2000s.
Okay.
Let's give this...
2004 for life. Killers is with me.
We already did 2004.
Oh shit. Thank
you. Let's give this a 2000.
And no one said for life.
Let's give this 2008?
Nope.
9.
Yes.
Okay. I tried. Okay,
you
so
did.
we have Harry Potter, Transformers, and that shitty vampire movie?
The Twilight.
Okay, so. I would like to go in.
Hard to pick.
Hard. Yeah. I'm going to go in exactly that order. Harry Potter, Transformers, Vampires.
Nope.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Transformers, Harry Potter, Vampires.
Andrew is right again.
Fuck.
Douglas, you're down.
Douglas is down,
you're down
too.
You're down. I don't know what
I need to fix
think
this.
You're doing,
I need to do something.
You need to tell you how this is going to go. I told you guys from week three. Right, I'm
right.
going to lose Lord and come back from behind.
Sense of security. Andrew Robinson, where is question four? Aha!
I'm like
me, my stop up. Me, myself, and Irene.
Ooh.
Oh, gone in 60 seconds. and Shanghai Noon.
This is.
Am I the only one who actually liked Me, Myself, and Irene when it came out?
I like that movie to this day.
I haven't watched it since.
It is so stupid.
I'm going to guess 01.
Congratulations.
So, Jim Carrey versus...
The Cage.
That's Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yes.
Versus
Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai 1.
Shanghai Noon was the first one. Shanghai Nights is the second one.
Of course. Timeless classics. All three.
I guess I'll go with Nick Cage, then, I'll go with Jim Carrey, Nick Cage, then the third one.
I'm sorry, what is the third one?
Whatever the one is,
I don't know.
Shanghai.
Okay, you're wrong. Douglas Robinson.
I think I am going to go with Gone in 60 Seconds, followed by Shanghai Noon, followed by Jim Carrey.
No.
No? Okay.
Gone 1.
Wow. What was the numbers?
101.
Wow, that actually broke 100.
Jim Carrey made 90, and Shanghai made 56.
Cool.
Sad times.
Do I get a point for 2001?
Absolutely not.
God damn it.
Douglas Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Little Miss Sunshine, The Departed, Flags of Our Fathers. Do you know what year The Departed came?
2006.
Congratulations. Now put it in.
Alright, remind me again. The Departed.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine.
And Flags of Our Fathers.
Flags of Our Fathers. Fudge.
Is not an answer. Please answer in the form of a question.
What is?
I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Departed number one, Flags of Our Fathers number two,
and Sunshine number. Can we? For Christ's sake!
What's at stake here?
You know what? Yeah, all right. Sunshine.
He's going to save the world
by
getting it right.
Nope.
Departed, Sunshine, Flags.
Departed made
I almost
one.
Made that switch.
Yes.
Ah.
Departed
Sunshine
made
was
one.
The,
it got an Oscar, but that doesn't mean that, you know.
The Departed made
Clint
132
and War.
Sunshine made 59, and Clint Eastwood made 33 million. So.
Sunshine was one of those beloved movies. It was like a Juno, where it looks like it would be a 30 movie, but everyone loved it so much and kept going and kept going. And.
Andrew Robinson.
That is I.
Daddy Daycare.
Oh,
Shanghai Nights.
I feel dirty now.
And Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh my goodness, David. Are you allowed to talk about that movie? Are we no, pick another movie. We can't talk.
No.
03.
You're actually right. This one.
I know.
A Dark Tide. Oh, you know.
It had Beckham in the title. Do you think I need to watch a movie?
You're a sad little man. I will never. If I am sent to prison, and that is the torture, I will demand that they kill me.
So, Bendy Light Beckham, what are the other two?
Daddy Daycare.
Oh.
Shanghai Nights. Three bangers.
I don't know which one won this.
No shit.
Shanghai Daycare Beckham.
Shanghai Daycare Beckham, incorrect.
Daycare Shanghai Beckham.
You are correct.
Yes, I get the point!
So
Daycare one.
Daycare made 104 million. Shanghai made 60. And Beckham made 32. Legally Blonde. Moulin Rouge. And Training Day.
I think I know when that is. But it's already taken. Oh. No, it can't.
I'm blameless. Wait a second.
No, that's not right. Damien.
Something's
not
here.
Right. Uh-huh. Because that's in a year that's already taken.
Yes. That is.
Damien's cheating.
No, I. Damien,
the game is rigged. The game is rigged. It's a draw.
No. There's something wrong with the numbers that I have.
Because I know what that years. I know what that date is, mm-hmm. and it's been taken.
But what year is it? Mm-hmm.
It's 2001.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was the previous 2001?
It
was
I
the
first gone one in 60 seconds. That's 2001.
No, yeah, go on, 60.
But no, you got that right anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. It does not make a difference.
Gone in 60 seconds probably came out.
It was 2002.
What, 2000?
Gone I have it here on IMDb as
right,
2000.
2000. That's 2001.
Oh, that's gone in 60
All
seconds?
All those three came out in 2000.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why I have 2001. Yeah.
Anyways.
But once again, none of you got that right, so it did not make a difference. Legally Blonde, Moulin Rouge, and Training Day.
This is hard.
Oh, I'm sorry.
King Kong
ain't got
shit on me.
Okay. I'm going to wholeheartedly not believe in the world.
Okay.
I'm going to go with
the whirling feast.
Exactly. I'm going to go with Legally Blonde number one.
Yep.
Moulin Rouge number two and Training Day number three.
You, sir, are incorrect.
Yeah.
Blonde, Training, and then whatever's left.
I'm sorry, what is the whatever? What's happening
here? It's Inspector Gadget.
Oh, alright, that is awesome.
What was the third
one? I am not going to tell you.
Moulin Rouge.
Yes.
That's the third one. Blonde, Training Day, Moulin Rouge.
Andrew, once again, is right.
Sniping the points away.
Douglas is literally
sniper, no sniping.
And this is not over. I'm deducting 10 points from Douglas. Andrew Robinson. There was a year where Jason Statham made bank. He made Death Race. He made the third Transporter film. And he made The Bank Job. Three timeless classics.
Was this year 2008?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So we have The Bank Job.
Mm-hmm.
We have Transporter 3 and Death Race.
Yep.
I'm going to go Bank Job,
mm-hmm.
Transporter 3. Mm-hmm. No, Bank Job, Death Race, and Transporter 3.
Not even close.
Bank Job, Death Race, Transporter 3. Wow. Those are some quality movies.
Everyone liked The Bank Job that
Listen,
year.
Stop it. I like all of those movies. It's Jason's... Actually, I don't like Death Race. But I like the other two enough for it to
like
not matter.
I don't like a single one of those movies.
How dare you not like a Transporter movie?
I was promised car flipping shenanigans.
How dare you not like
a Transporter
movie?
He did use a bike. He did have a bicycle trip.
I deserve escalation. You cannot put a three and then tone down the movie. I refuse to accept that.
There was eco-friendliness in that
you
movie.
Stop her. Start deducting points.
Transporter,
Death Race, and The Bank Job.
The Bank Job. Okay, I'm going to go with...
And if you repeat what Andrew says,
right?
I'm going to kick you.
I'm going to go with...
Death Race first.
The Bank Job, which I know Andrew put first, but I'll switch his other two and put Transporter first and then Death Race last.
That isn't what Andrew said?
No, he had Transporter
Are you
last.
Certain?
Yeah, he had Transporter
At
last.
First I said Transporter, then I switched...
Fuck you.
We can go to tape.
Oh, man.
Game again. Guess what? You're wrong.
Was Bank Job one?
Death Race made 36
Seriously?
Million.
What?
Transporter Bank
Job
three
was
Death Race?
Made 31 million. And The Bank Job made 30 million.
Jeez. Well, I've lost this match.
Whose turn is it?
It's Andrew. No, it's mine. It's my
turn. You just stole from me, so
yeah.
Douglas Roberts.
Yes.
Norbit.
Are we going to have this?
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry and Hairspray.
It's in the middle. So,
I'm gonna go with 2005.
Nope.
Okay. Which year was that?
Norbit, yes. 7.
Andrew's right.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
No, Douglas Roberts.
Won an Oscar.
Norbit. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, and Hairspray.
I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, the X-21 movie.
Okay, normally I'd go with Adam Sandler, but I'm going to go with people thinking Hairspray is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Eddie Murphy. Boy.
Oh, I love this question.
It feels nice and
it's
warm.
Like a warm just having people debating which is less shitty.
No, it's not which is less shitty, it's which one the world thought we should all go and watch.
You know what? Hairspray,
mm-hmm.
other movie, and Eddie Murphy.
And then other movie. You're not right.
We figured as much.
Andrew Robinson.
What are my movies?
I'm never going to repeat them ever again. Norbit. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. And Hairspray. Timeless classics.
Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm.
Hairspray, Norbit.
That's probably right.
He's right.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler made 120. Hairspray made 118. And Norbit made 95 million. And I am going to kill myself. Norbit made $95 million.
Did you give it any money?
I
remember
Andrew
guys,
Robinson.
I remember when you guys went to the movies to watch About Dave. Was that the name of the movie?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That was the day where we went to film the pilot episode.
Yep. A day that we live far.
I remember specifically Damien having his Arcos.
Mm-hmm.
And watching something on his Arcos, and so during the ads, and someone shouted at you, turn off your Arcos.
Because, as far as they were concerned, it was magic.
And we were texting comments to one another,
yep.
throughout the movie, going like, "How shitty is About Dave?"
It was real bad. I don't know if you've seen it.
Oh, of course.
But it is like. When I am diagnosed with cancer,
Damien,
I am going to send the bill.
Damien, I think the last time I tried to trust Eddie Murphy was a little movie by the name of... Oh, what was the name of that movie with Steve Martin? And it had, like, Chunky Rain or some shit like that in there.
I think you're
Are you thinking about Bowfinger?
Yes, I'm thinking about Bowfinger.
All right, back to the question. Andrew Robinson.
That is I.
Yeah, this is the penultimate question. There will be one super bonus question at the end.
So Douglas can try and...
Some amount of maths.
Yeah.
Whatever Douglas is behind, but...
Is there a point where
plus
we go
one.
Like, it's mathematically impossible, let's stop talking.
Plus one. Triple X State of the Union.
Oh, I was about to make a PlayStation joke and you just ruined it.
Are we there yet?
Oh, more Ice Cube.
And Chicken Little.
Was he in that? Was Ice Cube in Chicken Little?
I'm not going to answer.
03?
05, son.
Thank you. For life.
For life? Actually, no, it's 04 for life.
So, Triple X 2, Are We There Yet? And...
The Little Chicken.
Little Chicken. Chicken Little. I'm going to go Chicken Little.
Mm-hmm.
Are We There Yet? And Triple X.
Andrew's correct. Again.
Wow.
I think he's been studying.
The 2000s, man. It was my time. I was the right age.
Douglas, I know you don't want to hear this. Andrew has 6 points. You have one.
And the
there's
bonus
a
question.
Final bonus question.
And it's only worth 2 points.
Somehow it's worth 6 points.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
I want a commissioner.
I don't know
these rules.
How magical
I,
it is worth.
Actually, by the way, Andrew, I really want him to overlook the rules. I really do.
What rules?
Because... Overlook means what I want it to mean, not what you want it to mean.
Look over.
Yes. I
don't think that one means what
I want you to pretend he's no Douglas. That's what overlook means. What you would like him to do is
so yes. Bonus question. Super bonus question worth 6 points.
somehow, by some math, there is a tiebreaker.
How does this tiebreaker work?
Who knew? I'm going to give you 3 movies.
Douglas specifically, or is this
to the tour?
Okay.
So do we have like buzzers?
You guys have to guess which movie made the most money. So the question is, which Disney movie has made the most money at the box office?
Okay.
Throughout the years.
Uh-huh.
You have 3 options. You have The Lion King, you have Toy Story 3, and Frozen. And you also have to guess the number that it made.
Well, it's Frozen, and it's about 400 and change.
Andrew?
I'm going with Frozen. And I'm going to give it...
Wait, do I need to give a specific number? Is 400 and change not acceptable?
You probably should.
Okay.
This Price is Right.
Yeah, all right. So, so remind me of Price is Right. Is lower better or higher?
Closest is better.
No, no.
Without going over.
Exactly. So lower is better. Jesus Christ, Damien.
I've never watched Price is Right.
What?
That is, how?
Leave.
No.
I've seen it on TV.
I don't want to hear.
Andrew.
Stop.
Yeah. You know, you just lost 5 points.
And
that
the
standard
savings.
So now that there's a legit...
all right.
Champion.
So I'd go
tight score.
I'd go with 435 million.
Okay. Andrew Robinson.
Don't do the dick move. Don't do it.
So I'm
He's
going
never
to
seen Price is Right. He can't
I'm going to
Are
go...
you be a liar?
I'm going to go with Frozen and say 436 million.
I think he's
going to
get it because I think it may be 440 and change. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
436 million.
You're both wrong. So now I need you both to pick again. Now between The Lion King and Toy Story.
But Frozen is the biggest.
The Lion King.
Frozen is the biggest cartoon we ever made, Damien. It has to be Frozen.
The Lion King and the Toy
Story. Let's play along and then we can contest this.
Right,
and then
fine.
You and Box Office Mojo can take this up.
I will go with Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say 500.
I will also go with Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it has to be bigger than Frozen, so it has to be in that range, but 500 sounds too much, Andrew.
I'm playing along. Right.
I'll go with 499 million.
You're still both wrong.
Boy.
Wait, hold on. Are we including 3D re-releases? That would make sense.
I am including the number that is on Box Office.
So I'm going to say The Lion King.
Is
wow.
Is this like escalated for inflation or something? What,
sir?
I will say,
sir,
700.
Oh, this is perfect. I will I will go with 699 million.
Douglas,
and as the lower one,
Douglas wins. Because it is the law.
Well, it's been a wonderful season, Chelsea.
Now, if you bring up Box Office Mojo, according to them,
yes,
The Lion King made 422, Toy Story 3 made 415, and Frozen is just over 400.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the Box Office Mojo should confirm this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Guess what I want you to do now, Douglas? Eat a dick.
Okay, so. I have here, I mean, this is not Box Office Mojo.
Yes.
This is Variety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the internet has decided to die, but the headline is Frozen becomes the highest grossing animated film ever made.
Yes, but that's
international.
Worldwide. Since we've never ever used the worldwide figures at any point. You'd see where. So let me get this straight. You thought it was worldwide figures, and you thought Frozen made 400
no,
million.
I thought.
Mm-hmm. He thought that wasn't worldwide.
Ah.
He thought that was domestic.
Yeah, I thought I meant that it was also highest grossing. Well, not also, but it was highest grossing domestic, because that's usually what they talk about. They talk about They pay more attention to domestic than worldwide most of the time.
Except no.
Except no, when they realize, wait a second.
That's where all the money is.
Is equal to 4 and does give me more money.
And it's important to the conversation.
Yeah.
What conversation? The Twitter conversation. Hashtag money.
Yes.
Hashtag dollar dollar video.
Hashtag China rules Iron Man.
So it's been a lot. It's been a rough 10-week league.
Yes. And
it took us around 20 weeks to do.
Douglas, having held the lead for a good long time, decided
to lose it.
Let me throw all of this away.
Giving away 9 points in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks? Douglas, you lost 6-1.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
No one has ever gotten 6 points in one of these.
That's
in
true.
In a single.
Yes.
No one.
No one has and ever in the history
of the top
quizzes
won a tiebreaker that was 6 points worth.
So Andrew wins. And I know turn over the shenanigans to somebody else. You go away.
$100, that's the rate.
I shall not niggle. Can we depart this afternoon?
We? You are not going. That is no part of it.
You have misjudged me if you think I'm silly enough to give you $50 and watch you simply ride off.
I'm a bonded U.S. Marshal.
That weighs but little with me. I will see the thing done.
I've been the duck. I can't go after Ned Pepper and a band of hard men look after a baby at the same time.
I am not a baby. I
won't be stopping at boarding houses where there's warm beds and hot grub on the table. I'll be traveling fast, eating light. But the sleeping is done to take place on the ground.
Well, I have slept out at night before. Papa took me a little Francoon hunting last summer on the Petit Jean. We were in the woods all night. We sat around a big fire and yarn all told ghost stories. We had a good time.
Coon hunting? This ain't no coon hunt.
It is the same idea as a coon hunt.
Don't come on in 40 miles, baby.
You were just trying to make your work sound harder than it is. Here's the money. Now, I am to get Tom Chaney, and if you are not game, I will find somebody who is game. All I've heard out of you so far is talk. I know you can drink whiskey and snore and spit and wallow in filth and bemoan your station. The rest has been braggadocio. They told me you had grit, and that is why I came to you. I'm not paying for talk. I can get all the talk I need and more at the Monarch boarding house.
Leave your money. Meet me here at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. We'll begin our coon hunt.
So moving on.
Terrible at this game.
Right. This week Douglas asked us to watch Cannibal. And if there's one thing about cannibals that we know,
mm-hmm.
while they are loners, right. they need to have secluded places with which to do their right. cannibalism.
Right.
Right.
So this week we decided the top 5 movies about cooking people.
This week Douglas has asked us to do our top 5 films.
Set in
the countryside, because that's where cannibals exist.
This is the worst top five ever.
That's why I was asking.
What? What? Who are we starting with? Andrew, are we starting with?
Starting with Douglas Robinson.
Okay.
Shitty list.
And my list is equally as shitty.
Mm-hmm. I think you are incorrect.
Alright,
what I'm about to do to this list.
Alright, so,
list.
So number 5.
It sounds if you guys don't watch good movies.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I watch good movies. As evidenced by number 5 on my list,
mm-hmm.
which is none other than the classic Kindergarten Cop. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'm not even going to ask him it. Don't fall for it. It is a trap. It is a black hole of an answer.
No!
Listen to me. Focus, Andrew. Look at me.
Are you telling me that my Kindergarten Cop isn't set in the countryside?
Just ignore him.
It's not in Chicago.
Are you talking to...
The man goes from the city to a very rural area.
Engage him. Just tell me what you're...
So my number 5. Right. When you talk about the countryside, you tend to talk about cabins.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about cabins, you talk about horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When you talk about horror movies, you tend to go to the woods.
Okay,
so my number 5
cool.
is the wonderful horror film, The Cabin in the Woods, from a couple of years back. Because children are going to die. And it's for our benefit, right? And at the same time,
so
I'd kind of want to see that world where it doesn't happen and the world goes to an apocalyptic end.
You're a sick man. My number five is The Grizzly Man. Have any of you seen
this? Nope, I have not seen this
movie. I want to. I keep forgetting to watch it. Because I like that guy's movies. Most of them. Some of them.
One of our favorite directors made a, let's call it a documentary.
about a man and a grizzly bear.
Okay.
And it is terrific. It checks both boxes. Both the solitude box and the countryside box. Grizzly Man is my number five.
You know, I have a feeling he has more Herzog to come. Yes?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, you should.
No.
Anyway, my number four. Keeping with the impeccable nature of my previous pick, I would like to go with a little movie by the name of My Cousin Vinny, starring Joe Pesci.
I think we should just call it Douglas. Not countryside, but smaller towns.
Talking to him, just ignore him.
Are you bringing up Braveheart next? Because I go to a smaller castle at some point in Braveheart.
Braveheart is on the countryside all the time. What are you talking about? When they fight, are they not on like hillsides and riverbanks and shit like that?
Andrew Robbins.
My number four, continuing down my line of cabins and woods and being alone in the countryside as opposed to being in a town, one of you guys' favorite movies of all time, Lars von Trier made a film about going to a cabin and being in the woods. It's called Antichrist.
That's my number one. I should have known. Okay.
Because I will never get those images out of my head.
I love those images till the day I die. Speaking of foreigners and isolation and countrysides, Revanche.
I really want to watch that movie. I still haven't.
Oh, you didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it.
That movie's incredible.
So I keep hearing, and I've had it to watch for at least like 3 or 4 years, and up to now just hasn't happened.
On a side note, it means revenge.
I know.
What?
I didn't know that going in. I just thought you'd have that information to help you out.
Actually, I didn't know that until the podcast, but I wasn't a part of the podcast, so I didn't watch it at the time. Okay, so since Andrew has taken my number one, some reshuffling needs to occur. But I think my next movie still stands. Alright, fine, I won't use this one. So number three, I'm gonna go with a movie by directors that we all love, the Brothers
Grimm.
Brothers Bloom.
Sadly, that's the first thing to my mind when you said Brothers.
The Brothers of the Coin.
The Children of the Coin.
The Children of the Coin. Yes. They made a movie by the name of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And there's a bunch of countryside in that. And a bunch of awesome music, a bunch of travels. It is just a bunch of awesome. Love that movie.
He'll give you $10 to sing into a candy man.
Absolutely not. I'm not a prostitute. I did escape from prison.
My number three is an old film. It stars one Mr. Dustin Hoffman, and it involves him being in a house with a woman who has been beaten and battered and raped and protecting her. And this is called Straw Dogs. It was in 1971.
Oh, Dustin Hoffman was in the original?
He's the main guy in that movie.
Then they remade it.
Yeah, they did.
I still haven't watched a remake. No, I don't know. Will.
I watched pieces of it. I don't know.
It's okay. It's not a travesty. It's okay.
I like the original too much, I feel.
Fair.
But yeah, whatever.
You understand that watching the remake doesn't remove.
I know, but it hurts my soul, right? It reaches in and it grabs that part where Straw Dogs is and goes, here, But yeah, this movie is fantastic, and you're in the English countryside for the whole of it. It's kind of beautiful at times, and I still question how that guy was that tall.
Oh, I hate you people. From the man that has tormented my life for years at a time, the maker of Double Life of Veronique, he made three good movies. The Colors trilogy. Have any of you seen The Colors?
No, but it's on my list to watch this year.
Alright, so in Blue, I think Blue is the first one. I don't know. Or Care. There's a woman who, due to a car accident, loses her husband and her child. And goes off into the woods to be isolated.
Which is the countryside, right?
Goes off to the countryside, I'm sorry. To be isolated. And this movie is incredible. You should especially since you like...
Oh, absolutely. I know what
you're saying. Cannibal. You will adore this movie. It takes itself... it's the same pacing. They're not rushing to do jack shit. And her performance, she's in all three of them. Her performance is incredible. Don't remember her name. Can't be bothered. Alright. Wow. Douglas Robbins.
That was special. My number two.
Do you feel isolated yet?
Yes, I do, actually. You guys are doing a pretty good job of that. Number two. Before I could do another bullshit pick, but no. And actually, you may still call bullshit on this one, but anyway. Before Katniss was Katniss, she had a bone to pick with a few rednecks.
A few cold people.
Yeah.
Fuck, that movie's good. I need to go watch that movie again.
Winter's Bone.
God damn it.
That was an awesome movie. And I think it counts as a countryside movie.
That is that movie is incredible.
So my number two,
I think that might be still my favorite movie with her.
My number two is a movie which I hope you guys have seen, because if you haven't, this is a movie you guys should love. It's from 1988. It is
Cannonball Run?
I think it's an English-Swedish co-production. I could be wrong about that.
I've seen all of those. So. Guess I'd have
and it's called it. The Vanishing.
Off.
That's the name. There's the Vanishing. It's about a woman who is kidnapped. And the man of the relationship... it's how it affects him, right, as a person. And it kind of takes you eventually into the other side of the story. Like, for a long while, you just see his version, right? Girl is kidnapped and jump X years forward, and it still affects him, right? And it's kind of an amazing movie. It probably doesn't hold up to the countryside bit as much, but it holds up to it almost as much as Cannibal does, in that we get there eventually and we stay there for a while.
Alright. Word. Makes as much sense as this list. My number two, speaking again of isolation and countryside.
Hey, listen. I thought that was a great list.
Lars.
I was vetoed, however.
Lars von Trier.
Yeah, there we go.
He pronounced V's as B's, right?
In Spanish.
He's not Spanish?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Danish.
Same difference.
So does he eat?
No, continue with that. I'm sure the end of that joke is spectacular.
The question is what they call it there. Right, because you know, most times you'll say things like French toast, so we ask if in France is it just called toast, but is it just called a Danish? So what do you call a Danish? Do you sort of say that? I want that.
I would like a mother country, please.
I'm glad that in the 200 episodes we've done, we've matured precisely 0%. While we think we like better movies, our maturity level has gone absolutely nowhere. Melancholia. I love that movie forever. In fact, at this point, ignoring the time that some dipshit on this podcast forced me to watch a movie where he was trying to make people laugh, which I refused to... I am going to strike. I'm going to hack IMDb and take that down. Is what I'm going to do. I like all these movies.
Is it weird? IMDb, something I discovered a while back, and I find it interesting to do. When you look at the URLs in IMDb, you'll see that there is a request where you see variable and equal, and then a long number.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the ID number of all of the records in IMDb, so you can see which was entered first. So if you just say 00001,
mm-hmm.
That's the first thing ever entered into IMDb. You can do a 2 second thing.
And that's pretty good. I like that. That's cool. Sometimes.
Yeah.
And now we've come to the end.
Douglas's finisher.
Okay, so did I tell you that I really love The Chef? So much more than any movie should be loved, definitely at that caliber. With that in mind, my number one pick for this countryside list is A Good Year, starring Russell Crowe and Marion Cotillard.
I don't know it.
Well, the rest I don't know.
He went to his chateau in France.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love that movie. Again, more than any movie like that should be loved.
Why not the movie with him assassinating people? What's the name? The American.
Oh, that's not him. That's George Clooney.
No, no.
I like that movie, though. That movie's really good.
Why not that?
Because...
Why not The Good German?
I don't know if I've actually watched that one.
So my number one movie... about movies in the countryside.
Steven Soderbergh.
It's not a Soderbergh film. It is a filmmaker you despise almost as much.
That is impossible.
It is Terrence Malick's.
Alright, never mind. I sit here corrected.
It's Days of Heaven.
No idea what you're talking about. It was so like a movie.
You don't want to.
Randomly generating movie tips.
Damien, I tried.
Why? Didn't you see Malick's name at the end?
I think I may have lasted an hour.
Uh-huh. And then you went.
And then I was.
Threw up gang signs.
Three hours later, Andrew was watching the movie.
Started pointing your gun sideways at the screen.
in a film about Richard Gere running away from the law.
Wait.
Richard Gere.
So it's a Richard Gere movie. And you went, this sounds like a good idea. Nothing can go wrong here.
He accidentally murders a man and runs away from the law off to the countryside.
Oh, yes. In like Taiwan, like some...
Off to the wheat fields. Where he's farming.
Seen some of this movie.
Where he's farming on the wheat fields.
Douglas, I was... My mother is a fan of Richard Gere because of Pretty Woman. And that is the only line, because nothing else makes sense, because he only comes in garbage. I remember one day sitting down beside her, watching Richard Gere in some field, and went, this, like, it is like a nightmare. And I remember she turned to me and said, I started this, and I'm going to finish this, because Richard Gere is it. My mother doesn't usually take that tact with anything. So you must understand how serious the movie must have been for her to go, to turn to me and go, I'm doing this, because she has to.
I love this movie, Damon.
Wow. I'm not going to prove you wrong. I am very sorry.
You're going to let me have it.
You are just going to have to be right or wrong all on your own. No. Mm-mm. Sorry. For my final movie, it is the greatest movie of all time. And it, again,
Condor Man?
Ticks the boxes of Isolation and Countryside. It is Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Alright, we're at 200.
Uh-huh.
I want to make a veto to Rambo.
Listen to me very carefully.
I second that motion.
I think we can put that in our call.
And this is not just Rambo Part 2. This is the Rambo franchise is now in the pantheon.
Unless you decide to talk about the new Rambo.
There's only one good Rambo. Right? And this is the one. So I'll put that on Ikiru. And the Double Life of Veronique, which I had already put in the vault years and years ago. So yeah. Rambo is the best. God, I love that.
So Damien, that was an interesting list about the Countryside.
Yeah, and Isolation. Alright, Douglas?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So 200 down.
I like how he threw away all his goodwill for this movie with his top five. He's like,
"Would you like to hear my
like this?
Would you like to hear my honorable mentions?"
No. We don't want to hear anything.
So while I was doing the list, I realized Condor Man works in this list.
Right.
So Condor Man,
because he goes off to the countryside.
Yeah. I also did have Andrew stole two movies from me. I had Cabin in the Woods,
mm-hmm.
and I had Antichrist. Even though, to be fair, Cabin in the Woods, I had taken it down because I knew it would be taken. I don't know why I didn't think Antichrist would be taken. And the movie where I started to say it and I stopped and I said, no, I cannot do this to them, was Marty McFly, Mr.
Doc Holliday.
Doc Hollywood.
Starring
Michael J. Fox. I was trying to remember his name. Starring Michael J. Fox. Again, this is one of those movies. It's dumb. I don't know why I like it. I don't know why I like it as much as I like it, but I really like that movie.
Sometimes we get caught.
I had There Will Be Blood on my shortlist, but then I decided not to put it because, like, when I think of countryside, I think of like flowing fields and stuff. That's just like a desert.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, eh.
I had Gravity.
Because that's the countryside, right?
I mean, she fell to earth at some point. She didn't fall in the city, did she? No, she did not.
Wait,
were there apes when she landed?
I don't remember.
You could have used Buried.
No, you couldn't.
Yes, because we said it was movie set in the countryside. He was absolutely in the country.
He was in the city, though. If you remember that movie properly, it was buried not in the countryside, but in the city.
Anyways, guys, it's been a wonderful 200, and let's hope to 200 more.
I mean, Moon was technically on the side of...
if the moon is a country.
Right. If the space station is the country.
He was on the side of it.
Right.
At some point. Somewhere.
Yeah.
As always, you can hear the show over at gmanreviews.com. You can hear us through iTunes and Stitcher.
As everyone stop listening.
Damien is on Twitter at Damien_White.
Yep.
Constantly. Well, not constantly.
Madden season
just
is the reason.
Just talking about Madden, even though he hasn't played Madden in like 30 years. Douglas
ever.
Is that DJR lost his name, letting us know about music he got.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at G-Brand Reviews, constantly talking to people in Toronto, feeling sorry that I'm not in Toronto.
Can't wait till we live long enough that Douglas actually gets a DJ job. Like, he does it in the night because he can't sleep. And he's going to call himself DJ something else. Absolutely no reason. And I'm going to call in on his show, whether it is a calling show or not.
Are you going to put on characters so that he doesn't know it's
no? No, I'm just going to keep calling until let me through. I mean, there'll be no one at the station at that time of the night. It'll just be pipe through, and he'll try to ignore it, So I don't know if you've tried to ignore a phone that is just keeps ringing. At a certain point, he does have to answer.
You see, here lies the thing, though, right? You're thinking of like 1990s phones where we can't press mute.
I'm also speaking off a radio station. You think there's real technology there?
No, but by the time he's a DJ, the technology
in this country,
like they would have had to have upgraded.
No, but it is the radio. They don't have to upgrade anything ever
because it's radio.
It's been the same way since the dawn of time, right? When cavemen were first sending radio signals, it was using that equipment. Pretty sure. I read that in a book somewhere.
You mistake my silence for some kind of doubt. When you lose all your teeth, may it please shut your mouth. There may come a day when there's nothing to say but I love you. Now the evening is toast, restless and bored, and the kids are medieval. And we're not the lords. Oh, but I can imagine if we didn't have them, my love.